Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day today. Well, just like in the intro, sometimes I talk about hunting and fishing, and today we're going to talk about fly fishing. Been getting into fly fishing with my son Ransom, really enjoying it. My guest today, I've already learned a lot from him. I'll introduce him here in just a little bit, or more specifically, we'll let him introduce himself. But first, I want to remind you of a few things that we have going on. If you want to be a part of the Shepherd's Crook membership, please reach out to me. I've missed last month's article. This month's article will be coming out and right to your mailbox if you want to be in on that newsletter. Good old-fashioned newsletter right to your mailbox. $5 a month gets you that and a thumb drive at the end of the year with all the content, audio and video that you can have, trying to encourage ownership over access. And so if you want to be a part of that, please reach out to me. Also, if you are new, just because you like my guest today and you're here, we also do a couple other shows around here at our house. We have the Fruitful and Fearless podcast that Jordan does. She does a phenomenal job with that. We actually have some new updates coming to that show that we're really excited about, and some other ladies from the church that are going to be a part of that. So Christchurch ladies, keep your ears tuned. And then also Sons and Slaves podcast. Me and my boys are talking about everything, but specifically right now we're talking about Bob Schultz's book, Boyhood and Beyond, and we're just going through lessons that we are learning and that I'm teaching my sons, and we're having a lot of fun with that. So go on over to iTunes or wherever you get iTunes or podcasts and check that out. Sons and Slaves, Fruitful and Fearless. And then finally, I want to give a shout out to Barbell Logic. Matt Reynolds is a good buddy. He spoke at the intensive this year, did a great job as he's unveiling a little bit of what he's talking about in his book that's coming out with Forbes later this year. And so you want to check out what Matt Reynolds is doing at Barbell Logic. If you need strength coaching and you just want to get in shape and you are just tired of living the life you've lived physically, then this is for you. Look at Barbell Logic and do what I'm trying to do, trying to get strong. That's the thing. I've always been skinny, but I've always been skinny and weak. So I'm trying to be skinny and strong. That's what I'm trying to do. So reach out to Matt and he can certainly get you in shape. Okay, I am talking to a new friend, somebody that I've been learning from recently, and his podcast. He'll introduce himself here in just a second. I'm talking to Steve Mathewson. Steve, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, Jared. Thanks.
Good deal. Well, I'm going to pray and then pass it off to you to let us know who you are and what you're about. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time today. We thank you for your grace to us, your love for us. I thank you for Steve and all you're doing in and through him. I have a lot to learn from him, just as I just ask questions about life and ministry. He's down the road a little bit further than I am, and I'm looking forward to just learning about him. Also, I thank you for him and what he's got going on with Dave, with Two Guys in a River, and talking about fly fishing and the joy of that, and wanting to spread and recruit even people into enjoying such a wonderful sport. And I ask for blessing upon this conversation. I pray everyone listening in would be encouraged and challenged. And I thank you for a new brother and a friend. And just bless this time. I trust you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Steve, for the sake of my audience and for myself also, I'm getting to know you like they are. Why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and then what it is that you do.
Sure. Well, my name's Steve Mathewson, and I have spent the last 37 years in pastoral ministry, and I've done a lot of fly fishing and even hunting along the way during those years. So I was in Montana for 20 years, and that was great. Helena, the capital city, for about 5.5, and then the rest were in, not that far from Bozeman, which is south central Montana. We lived about 90 miles north of Yellowstone Park, so I just considered that our backyard, and I loved to hunt and fish there. And then to our surprise, God moved us to the north suburbs of Chicago about 18 years ago now, and it's actually been good, just ministry wise. And even though I love the West, and in a lot of ways I consider myself more of a Westerner. I grew up in central Illinois, but still, those years in Montana were so formative, and learned to love that state and that area. So yeah, even though I feel more like a Westerner, I'm here in the Midwest, and it's been good. I get back to Montana once or twice a year to fly fish and to do some other things. My wife's family is from Idaho, and so we've always had a reason to get back to the West every year. And let's see, my wife and I have been married for almost 41 years. That is hard to believe. And we have four adult kids, and they're married, and 11 grandkids, and eight of them are here in our town. So that's really
Awesome.
terrific. And spent a lot of time just going to their sporting events, and I get to baptize one of them on Sunday. That was terrific. And music concerts and all sorts of things. So it's been a great life.
That's
Life
awesome.
is simultaneously a great joy, and there's a lot of pain as well, but God's been very good, and so I'm thankful for that. So I
Yeah,
guess
yeah.
that's a good start, huh?
Yeah, amen. So I'm about 5 hours south of you, right down Interstate 57 in Carbondale. Yeah, so Central Illinois, where at in Central Illinois did you grow up?
I grew up in Morton, just east of Peoria.
Okay,
Yeah,
gotcha.
right in Interstate 74. Yep.
So the phrase, if it'll play in Peoria, what's that mean?
Yeah, I guess if it plays in Peoria, if it's acceptable to the crowd that's there. I don't know. Back in the day, Peoria might have been more of a blue collar town with Caterpillar Tractor Company, but I guess if it plays there, it'll play anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah, so you kind of took the path of Norman and Paul McLean. I mean, we can just go ahead and talk about A River Runs Through It real quick. So you went from the Montana area and ended up in Chicago. And I had talked to you behind the scenes beforehand. I just got to talk to John, which is Norman McLean's son.
Yes,
And I don't know if did you see the link I sent you? You'll have to listen to it when it
Yeah,
comes
I
out.
did. I listened part of it. Yeah, that's
Okay.
fascinating.
Yeah, so I got to talk to John. It was pretty neat. But how was that transition, though? I mean, you were from Central Illinois, you move out west, fall in love with the West, and then here you are in the suburbs of Chicago. Did it take a learning curve a little bit?
Oh yeah, it did, and I miss the mountains. Probably still miss them to this day. I guess in God's grace, there's so many trees here that you can't see that there are no mountains. But occasionally, my wife and I'll see a bank of clouds and think, "Hey, there's the mountains." No, it's just a bank of clouds. But yeah, it was interesting in a lot of ways. I think it was interesting getting used to Midwest conservatism again, which is neither better or worse. It's just different, Montanans, those in the Intermountain West are kind of independent. And there was a lot of West Coast influence as well, and
Okay.
we weren't that far from Montana State University, so being in a university community, I just a lot of things moving back here, and high schoolers referring to me, Mr. Mathewson, rather than 5-year-olds in Montana just call you by your first name.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Very
But
cool. Well,
yeah,
okay.
I miss the dry climate, humid here. When it's 20 degrees in the north suburbs of Chicago, it feels as cold as zero does in Montana. But we've done well here, and I found some fishing. I've caught salmon out of a Milwaukee River, out of
Oh,
some of the
wow.
that are north of here in Wisconsin, and then on a fly rod, and then fish in what's called the Driftless, that region of southwest Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota, where the glaciers did not drift through and flatten everything, and so you have all these dells or these valleys with spring creeks in them, and they've managed them well. They're full of trout, and so I do some trout fishing here in the Midwest, as well
Yeah.
as making my annual trek back to Montana.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's do this in two parts. We'll talk pastoral ministry and then let's spend a
Okay.
good time talking fly fishing. So you have
Sure.
been a pastor for several years now and have been writing also. Many of my audience, much of my audience is still pastors that listen to the show. So I'd love to just hear quickly internal, external call, and what was that like for you? What was that process like for you?
Sure. Well, my dad was a pastor. Actually, he was director of a church planning mission organization that planted churches in rural communities all over the United States. It was called the Rural Home Missionary Association, or RHMA, and that's what brought us to Central Illinois. That's where the headquarters are. And so, you
Oh, okay.
know, I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I probably in some ways it might seem like I come by that naturally, but I had to make sure that that was really God's call on my life. I think I watched others go into pastoral or missions ministry because their parents did, and then later they realized this really isn't for me. So I think I knew early on, but I also thought, well, man, maybe I could become a sports writer and go into either print or broadcast journalism. But I grew up as a Cardinals fan. You know, I was right in the Mason-Dixon line of baseball, and you know, I got in playground scraps over Cardinals and Cubs.
Hey, it's Cardinals country down here, brother.
Yeah, I know it is. I know. So anyway, I became a Cardinals fan, and I thought, man, maybe I could replace Jack Buck. But then he had this son named Joe who was pretty good. So no, but seriously, when I was in high school, my senior year, I got a job in sports writing for our local paper. They were between reel editors, so their editor, a guy named Jim Paquette, left. Ironically, he left to become the editor of Shooting Times magazine.
Okay.
And so while they were searching for a new editor, I got to do a lot of reporting, and I really enjoyed that. But I also realized, no, this is not what I want to give my life to. And so I just sensed through a number of things, just, you know, the way God had gifted and wired me, my desires, just the affirmation of people in the churches I was part of, that this is the direction God was leading me. And so I headed west because I like the West so much, and went to small Bible college in Montana, and then finished in Portland, Oregon, at Multnomah University, and went to Western Seminary, and then from there, yeah, back to Montana. I really had a heart for that part of the country. And I, you know, of course, I loved Montana, but I didn't know there was more to it than that. I think when I was in seminary too, I heard one guy say, "Well, I didn't get all this education to go back to Montana." And I thought, man, that's Montana needs trained pastors, and
Yeah, amen.
God's doing some great things there in the state. So you know, I'm thankful I got to be part of that for 20 years. And while I was at it, you know, I taught at a Bible college, and but yeah, 20 years then here for I was 17 and a half years in an evangelical free church
Oh,
in
okay.
north suburbs, and then yeah, just kind of waiting to see what the Lord has next. I finished there just a few months ago, and finished 17 and a half years. So I'm just thankful for the privilege of serving as a pastor. It's a wonderful privilege, and you know, there's a lot of stress that goes with it, but I wouldn't trade you know, the experiences I've had for anything. It's just been a privilege to serve the Lord.
Yeah, amen. That's great stuff. So EV free for 17 years, they practice dual practice baptism, correct? Is that kind of a marker of the network? One of them anyways?
Well, yeah, they do. That kind of goes back to the roots, but honestly, probably, Rob, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'll just say there's very few congregations that would practice paedo or infant baptism. It's more believers' baptism. Yeah, once in a while, I remember hearing somebody say something about those Baptists, and I thought, I and most others in the church are we're Baptists, we're Baptistic. So,
Without the name. Yeah.
that's right.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, very cool. So, parallel to pastoral ministry and life as a father and raising a family, you got this buddy of yours, and you have something neat that you have been doing with him, and just fishing for forever. And this is how I got to know you a little bit, was two guys in a river. My son was a little bit disappointed because he wanted me to let you know that that your show is his favorite podcast. So
Oh, that's sweet.
he's nine, and we've been out practicing our casting and fly fishing. I was actually doing that a little bit in Missouri this week. I had an event that I lead and didn't have much time to get away to fish, but I did fish a little bit. But was really enjoying. We're fishing for panfish basically, and actually bass fishing a little bit. We don't have trout where we're at, and we do have some really good, you can get some smallies on some smallmouth on the rivers in southeast Missouri. So that's
Nice.
where we try to do that. But really enjoying it. So he was a little bit disappointed. He had piano practice this morning, but he wanted to let you
Oh,
know
man.
you are his favorite. You and Dave have his favorite podcast. So tell
Well,
us about.
thank you for me. Thank
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. So you got a 9-year-old fan out there.
you. Great.
Why don't you go and tell us about the show and why you wanted to start it? Because I mean, I think it's been 20 since 2015. So I mean, 9 years, 8 or 9 years now you've been doing this. So why the podcast, and tell us why you love fishing and fishing with a friend so much.
Dave and I met when we were in Bible college together, and found out that we had a love for the outdoors. And so we I remember the first trip we took together was with a couple of other guys, and we backpacked into Little Belt Mountains in Montana, and there were some small trout streams, and we had a blast. And from there, off we went. And I think at first we were spinner fishers with with these ultralight spinning rods, but along the way, I had dabbled in fly fishing, and so I got Dave to dabble in it, and then we got more serious about it, both of us, when we were in our 30s. And interestingly enough, we both ended up here in the Chicago area. Dave came back to work for Christianity Today several years ago, and he was an editor for a couple of their publications, and then he went into his started his own business. But he's always had this real journalistic bent, and we've talked about what could we do. We love fly fishing, and is there a way that we could use that? We even thought about using that as kind of a mentoring sort of thing, maybe make it a ministry. But then Dave got under the idea of, what, why don't we do a podcast? And I think we were right at the cusp of there weren't nearly as many podcasts, and there weren't that many fly fishing podcasts. So we started that, Two Guys in a River, and it really took off. I'm still amazed. We did for 4 years straight, we did one episode a week. I mean, we'd record in batches, but we released a new episode every week, and then we also wrote an article every week on our website, and all those are still there. You can go to twoguysinariver.com. That's the number two, two guys in a river. It's all kind of one word. If you Google it, it's easy to find.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I figured you would. So you can find all of those podcasts and those articles, and we did the solid for 4 years, and we thought too, well, maybe it would become another stream of income, but it just really didn't work, and we loved it, but we were doing a lot of work to produce that. So at the end of 4 years, we said, maybe it's, we both had other things to work on. My friend had some big projects at work, and I was trying to finish up a PhD in Hebrew Bible, and so we took a little bit of a break. And at that time, we had like 10,000 subscribers. It was just amazing. And anyway, we took a little bit of a break, but it's still kind of in our blood. So what we do now is we record about probably about 15, 16 episodes a year, maybe four every quarter, and you release those. But we've just had a blast doing that. We've we've kind of positioned ourselves not as experts. I mean, I feel like I've achieved beginner status, and I'll be a beginner fly fisher for the rest of my life. I mean, we catch a lot of fish. We have some days or we don't, but we've positioned ourselves not so much as experts, but as guys that like to fly fish and like to talk about it. And we hope people learn something. We're kind of aiming to help those who are new to the sport, or but also those who've been around a while who just like to listen to somebody talk about fly fishing. And hopefully you learn something, but it's also just a way to process life. And so we've done that. We actually wrote a book
I've
published
got
by
it.
my friend's company. Yeah, the Fly Fisher's Book of Lists, kind of a fun little project that's got some probably both wit and a little bit of wisdom in it. And so we did that, and we're actually working on another book that I probably shouldn't say too much about it until we get down the road a little further. But yeah, we've been lifelong friends, and this has been one of the ways to just stay involved in each other's lives. And that's been a tremendous gift to good night. We met in college 43 years ago, and it'll be 44 years ago this fall. And to think that God in His grace would allow us to still to have that friendship. And we fished, oh, I don't know, three, four, five times a year in the driftless together. And then we always take one big trip to Montana, and that's been in the fall. So the privilege of sharing that with somebody. And those fishing trips are great because they're certainly about fishing, but it's just an opportunity to talk about what the Lord's doing in our lives, and just to share insights and lessons, and to encourage and challenge each other, and the kind of things that friendships do. And honestly, that friendship is one of the gifts, I believe, one of the things that the Lord has used to sustain me in pastoral ministry. And it's so important to have good friends, and I'm
Yeah,
just thankful
absolutely.
to have a lifelong friend. That's a pretty rare and remarkable gift, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about the show is your friendship and even the banter back and forth, making fun of each other a little bit
Yes.
is a great part of the show. And I think a lot of guys want that. They have friends or they get in their 20s and 30s and don't have friends for a while and then want that and then maybe get that again in their 40s and 50s. But that is one of the great things about the show is there's banter, but not too much of it that it gets annoying or anything like that. And you guys do a great job of that. So I think your objectives of, wanting to have a good time, wanting to help young fishermen or fly fishermen that are, new into the sport and, all those objectives seem to come out and that's what we've experienced. It's great. And, you'll learn funny things about you guys and mistakes that you've made as well. And lessons you've learned along the way is always a good thing to laugh about as well. So I got a big kick out of your dad almost getting eaten by a bear when you were young. And
That's right.
yeah,
Oh,
so we all just listened through that and just laughed and had a good time with that episode. So we're wanting to do a trip out west next year. We've never done that, and we're gonna go to the idea is we have a couple campers. We're gonna take our little one. It's about 1,000 pounds. Pull it out to Yellowstone. We want to go to Yellowstone, then go up into Montana. And then hit the Bozeman area and all up in there, and then head back and hit South Dakota and get to Mount Rushmore and then home. So
Nice.
the idea is to get out there and do some fishing out there, and we're looking forward to that. But for those that may be interested in, how do I get into fly fishing? Because here it's panfish, it's muddy creeks, it's not rock bottom creeks. There's not the same kind of fly fishing there is where you're at, even in, getting up into Wisconsin or getting out west. What is it about fly fishing though that is just gets under your skin a little bit in a good sort of way? Why would you encourage somebody to start fly fishing?
And this might be unique to trout fishing, but one of the reasons I like fly fishing for trout, and it would be true of other kinds of fly fishing, is just where it gets you. I mean, you just get out into some beautiful country, and that's always been, my thing. I love the outdoors, and I love the mountains, and maybe I'm biased towards trout fishing because trout tend to live in, clear, streams, clear, cold water. So that's great. I think too, there's an art to fly fishing that, when you're out there with a fly rod. And by the way, it's no put down on, spin casting or bait fishing. That's fine. I'm not a snob about it. I've done all three, but I don't know, there is something artful about fly fishing that I've enjoyed. And I mean, it's true of other types too, where you get out there, and I think too, as a pastor, it's just sometimes it's hard to focus on something else. My mind never shuts off. I'm always thinking about, people and their needs, and how I can help them, and what's the Lord doing, what's coming next. And then you think through the different crises, and I found that one of the few, if only, times that I'm not thinking about those things, or when I'm standing in the water, I'm alongside the river, and I'm trying to focus on, getting a good drift and catching a trout, that that's the one time where I can actually turn everything else off. And man, even when I'm watching baseball, my wife and I went up to Milwaukee recently and watched the Cards play, and it's just amazing. Even though you're enjoying that, it's just like, things pop into your mind about, oh yeah, this I've got to deal with this, and this is coming, and I wonder. But no, fly fishing is really different that way. It just enables you to, just to step away from your world into another world for a little bit. So probably it's that, the beauty of the outdoors. It's just something that you have to experience, I guess, to appreciate, how soothing and how exhilarating it really is.
And Christians in particular have been given the power to properly enjoy creation. I mean, it's beautiful. We
Yes, for
get to go
sure.
out and see the beauty of the clear river and the mountain behind it and say, God, thank you. And you don't have to think too deeply about it and just enjoy it and praise God for it and then keep fishing. And so I man, that's it's so cool. I think with hunting as well, I didn't start hunting until I was 35. And it just I love it. I love every part of it. And for me, the hunting and fishing side, I mean, it's obviously seasonal, but it is it's so there's so much joy there in thinking about being able to do this, Lord willing, as my children grow up, and then maybe one day with my grandchildren. That's what my hope, and that seems like what you're able to do. But the neat thing about being in the outdoors is that you can properly enjoy it. You have the Holy Spirit. You understand that God is the creator, so you can enjoy creation like nobody else can, and you can do this with your children and grandchildren until you're, I mean, old. I mean, you can get out, and if you can get somebody to help you climb in a stand or get in a blind or get out in a river or stand on the side of the river, you don't even have to get out there anymore. You can just get out there and fling it out there. And so is that, I mean, what's your life been like being in the outdoors with your children and now with your grandchildren?
Oh yeah, I've loved doing that. My boys and I, hunted together when we were in Montana, and then we fished together, and we still fish a lot. And that's always a treat. And I'm looking forward to summer. We'll be in Montana for a week, and I'll be with my grandsons, grandkids. So I look forward to. Yeah, the oldest ones are boys. That's why I said grandsons. But I'll take my granddaughters out too if they want to go. But they've been so busy here with their sports and things that I haven't had as much time to get out with them. And plus, just the distance here. If you're going to fly fish here for trout, you got to drive, at least 2 hours, maybe three. Yeah, unless you run up to Milwaukee and fish some of those rivers for salmon when they're running. But I found it's a great way to connect. It just gives us, I think, some of the most important conversations we've had have been When we've been out fly fishing or we've been out hunting, and there's just that those natural opportunities that come along for bonding and also for conversation. But yeah, both my sons love to fly fish, and I always look forward to when we get to do it together.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I also want to give an opportunity to you for you to give a shout out. I know you've written like a million books. So how many books have you written at this point, and where can we find, I've already said I'll put a link in the show notes to Two Guys in a River, but where can we find the works that you've done and put so much effort in? Where can we find your stuff?
Yeah, probably either on christianbook.com or Amazon, you can get them. Most of them I've probably written for pastors. So I've written preaching and Old Testament has been kind of my area. So I wrote a book on the art of preaching Old Testament narrative. Baker Academic publishes that, and it's actually in its second edition. I'm
That's
grateful
great.
it's been helpful, and I just finished The Art of Preaching Old Testament Poetry for Baker Academic. That'll be out in December of 2024. And then I did a couple books on preaching the Gospels through Hendrickson. Let's see, preaching the hard sayings of Jesus and preaching the four Gospels with confidence. Did a very short, a brief commentary on Joshua and Judges. Several years ago, that was published in England, I still see that occasionally on Amazon. It's out of print now, but that's there. And then one for just a general audience. It's called Risen, 50 Reasons the Resurrection Changed Everything. And I've always felt that when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, sometimes we spend so much time defending it, and I get it. We want to do apologetics because really this is the miracle on which everything rises and falls. I mean, if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything else falls into place. So I understand that we have to do that, but sometimes we do that so much that we don't talk about, so what difference has the resurrection made in
That's
our
good.
lives? So yeah, that book is just 50 meditations designed to try to help believers understand. I remember a number of years ago reading John Piper's 50 Reasons Why Christ Died. That kind of grew out of when the movie The Passion came out. He wrote that, and I thought, no, somebody ought to do that for the resurrection. So I did that, and Baker Books publishes that, so it's pretty easy to get as well. And I just find that the resurrection is such a key part of our Christian faith, and one
Amen.
we don't talk enough about. So yeah, so I've done those books, and then of course the Fly Fisher's Book of List, and maybe working on another one. And yeah, I'm grateful for those opportunities to write. I love to write, and I believe it's a gift the Lord's given me. And you don't have to be published to be a writer, but I'm grateful that I've had some publishers that have been willing to publish what I have so that it's been helpful to others, and that's what I'm grateful for. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm going to check those out. And we have been preaching through books of the Bible. We've gone about 8 years now since our church started. And Lord willing, I'm going to be here for the long haul. And the whole goal is to preach through the entire Bible. So obviously,
Great.
there's a different way to preach Proverbs than you're going to preach,
Yes, that's
Ephesians.
right.
And
Yes.
we preach through Nehemiah, Genesis, Esther. I'm thinking all the Old Testament books we've gone through. But we typically go New
Yeah.
Testament book, and then we jump back and we go by genre. Just jump
Yeah.
from genre to genre and pick one out of that
That's what
genre
I've
and go
done
there.
for years too,
Okay.
alternating between Old and New Testament and then different genres. I think it's a great approach.
And so hopefully here in about 25 years or so, we'll wrap things up. We've been in
Yeah.
Luke for about a year, or actually a little over a year, and we
Okay.
just finished chapter 11. So we're going to be in, I mean, well over another year. It'll be about 2.5 years by the time we get done
Okay.
with Luke. So I feel like we're moving, we're not Lloyd Jones in it. I mean, we're not going to be in there for like 30 years, but
Right, yeah.
we're moving through, I think, at a pretty good pace. So,
Good.
okay, last one, Steve. I asked this to everybody because I really want to focus in on God's grace and His glory. And so, one question, I'll put it on a tee for you,
Okay.
and let's let you swing for the fence. So, why do you love Jesus so much, Steve Mathewson?
Wow. Well, it's because he gave his life for me. He died, he rose for me, and and he wants me to have life and to experience it to the full. And so I'm just grateful for for his sacrifice. I mean, to think that God would take upon himself humanity and all of its limitations to go to those lengths to love us, to shower his grace on us. I continue to be blown away by that. I'm so thankful for it. And so yeah, I've
Amen.
I often pray the words of an old song that I heard, that all that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I give to you. I'm an offering. And so everything I do, I trust is just a reflection of my love for Jesus and my desire to serve him with my life.
Amen. Very good. Well, it's been a lot of fun just getting to know you, and I think my listeners are going to enjoy this as well. I'll make sure and get those links in the show notes. And I got to remind myself, because so often I think I got to put that in the show notes and then I forget to do so. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. Everybody, we've been talking to Steve Mathewson. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.